This is America Weekend. I am Paul Harris. Dan Dierdorf is a Hall of Famer four times over. He's in the University of Michigan Hall of Fame, the College Football Hall of Fame, the NFL Hall of Fame for his 12 years with the St. Louis Cardinals, and has also been recognized by the NFL Hall of Fame with their Pete Rozelle Radio Television Award, one of only four former players to get both into the Hall of Fame for playing and broadcasting. And now, after 18 seasons with CBS, plus a dozen seasons doing Monday Night Football, Dan has announced that this is his last season calling football games on TV. So I've invited him to join me to explain why. Dan, welcome to America Weekend.
Hey, good morning, Paul. How are you?
I'm doing just great. So why, after 42, 43 years, not counting high school and before that, have you said, I'm done with football?
Well, I'm not done with football, but I'm done broadcasting NFL football on television. And it really, it's just a question of, yeah, physically, it's just getting harder and harder for me to haul myself through airports and the grind of, you know, I live in St. Louis, and so every game I do is an away game. There's no such thing as a home game. So it's just the grind of leaving every Thursday or Friday and being gone for 3 days a week. I've reached the end of my rope with that. So as hard as this is, it's time to say goodbye.
Yeah. When you and I worked together at KTRS, which is our local affiliate in St. Louis, I used to see you walking down the hall, and I could see what football had done to your legs and to your back. And I can only imagine in the 15 years since then, it has not gotten better.
No, it has not gotten better. I've got two artificial knees. I've got two artificial hips. And like you say, the bad back. And so it's just, that's really what it is. If this was the age of Star Trek and I could have Scotty just beam me right to that stadium, I would never give it up. I still love being around the game. It's a tremendous feeling to be in that press box and right at the 50-yard line a couple minutes before kickoff. And if you're in Pittsburgh, the terrible towels are waving. If you're in Denver, the stadium's shaking. It's an atmosphere that I'm really going to miss.
Speaking of your injuries, there was a lot of talk before last season and during this last season about concussions in the NFL, with a settlement with a lot of former players and a lot of other players who have continued to sue the NFL. Jovan Belcher's family just announced that they're suing it. Did you ever have any problems from that?
No, I'm unfortunate. I don't. And you know, the vast majority of my teammates that I play with, I think are relatively healthy, and you know, I'll be 65 next summer. But, you know, do I forget things? Yeah, so does everybody my age. But I'm fortunate that I don't recall that I was never knocked out. I never lost consciousness. Did I ever get hit hard enough that, you know, the next day when we'd watch the tape of the game, when I did remember a play or two? Yeah, that happened a couple of different times, but fortunately, I'm very healthy as far as that's concerned.
Considering your physical condition, I'm glad to hear the brain is okay, but considering the physical condition and all this talk about concussions and some of the effects that we've seen in Junior Seau and some of the other sad stories of the last few years, would you tell parents to let their kids play football today?
Well, yes, because I still think that it's a great game. Football didn't do this to me as much, Paul, as the conditions under which I played. I had to practice every day of my career on AstroTurf. And I'm talking about the old-fashioned AstroTurf, which was nothing more than asphalt with a piece of indoor-outdoor carpet rolled across the top of it. And it was the equivalent of practicing and playing on a shopping center parking lot. And, you know, thankfully that those surfaces don't exist anymore. The artificial surfaces that players play on today, with the ground-up rubber chips underneath there, it's like a magic carpet compared to what we had to do. So I don't blame the game of football for my problems. I blame AstroTurf and the conditions under which you know, we had to practice back then. If I'd have played for a franchise that had a practice facility and on a grass field, I wouldn't be in the shape that I'm in today. It was just bad luck in that regard.
Interesting. This weekend, of course, the wild card playoffs, and the one on Sunday in Green Bay with the Packers and the 49ers may go down in history as the coldest game ever, even colder than the Ice Bowl of 1967 when it was 13 below. They're talking about wind chills of 30 and 40 below. What was the coldest game you ever either played in or broadcast from?
Well, I think the coldest game I ever played in was about 6 or 7 above. Last year, I did the Denver-Baltimore playoff game, that double overtime game in Denver, and I think it was like 4 or 5 degrees at kickoff. I've never broadcast a game where it was below zero, and thankfully never had to play in one that was below zero. It's funny as it sounds, it's not so bad for the guys that are actually playing because you're moving around and that gets your metabolism up there, and you do generate some heat. It's the guys that aren't playing. It's the backups that are not being – they're freezing to death on the sidelines. And really, the ones you really worry are the kickers. They have to come in at a crucial time and perform, maybe after standing for half an hour without moving. It's tough on everybody else. It's a grind.
And if you're the punter or the kicker on a Peyton Manning-led Denver Broncos team, you may only touch the ball once or twice.
Yeah, and it's a you'll get out there for some extra points, that's for sure. But, yeah, if you're the punter, and so they've got to work hard over on the sidelines to kick into. They've got to constantly stay moving or else they'll end up like the Tin Man. They'll go to move something, and it might not move.
Speaking of Manning, put this amazing record of his in perspective for me.
Well, I can't because we have nothing to compare it to. At his age, after 4 surgeries on his neck, I remember talking to Peyton Manning last year at the beginning of last season and listen to him compensate how he's having to compensate and throwing the football because he can't grip it the way that he used to grip it. His hand strength was diminished because of the surgeries. And to think what he was having to do just to get out on a field and play the game, much less play it at this extraordinary level that he's playing at now. If ever a human being just willed himself to heal and to get better. Through strength of will, Peyton Manning is a shining example.
Yeah, remarkable performance. And, he and the Broncos have got to be the favorite in the AFC. And I guess the Seahawks are the favorites in the NFC. Is that how you see this breaking down?
Well, yeah, I think the Seahawks and the 49ers are the two best teams in the NFC. The AFC, I think, is pretty wide open. I think every team I look at in the AFC has got some flaws. Denver's got some flaws defensively. They're not nearly as strong on that side of the ball as they used to be. They lost Von Miller, who was their best defensive player. He's out for the rest of the year. So there are a lot of holes. As strange as this is, the most talented team in the AFC might be the Cincinnati Bengals. And I can't believe those two words just flew out of my mouth. But the Bengals, who quite possibly, if you wanted to look for a dark horse to get to the Super Bowl, that's my pick.
Wow. All right. Before I let you go here, 3 of the 4 wild card games this weekend did not sell out until Friday afternoon. Local merchants had to buy up some of the final seats so that people in the hometowns could see these, including in Green Bay, where I know the wind chill is going to be 30 below. But people in Green Bay should be used to that, and I was surprised that it didn't sell out long before Friday afternoon.
Yeah, Paul, talking to some people up there, I think part of the problem was normally the chance for a playoff game, you see it coming months ahead of time. And I think in Green Bay, there was a feeling among the faithful that they weren't even going to make the playoffs. Huh. Aaron Rodgers was hurt. He missed a couple months of the season. The Packers were losing games left and right. And, who would have thought that they could get in the playoffs? The rest of the division cooperated and just collapsed. And that's the reason the Packers ended up making the playoffs. So I thought, I think the fan base, this playoff game kind of came out of nowhere just a couple weeks ago. So, and it's such a tiny market. It really is there aren't many people up there. And let's face it, the home viewing experience has become so good.
Absolutely.
And football is a game that was made for television.
And by the way, you have been a part of that and a reason for it, Dan. I'd love to talk to you more, but I'm all out of time. Congratulations on all these years.
Hey, thanks, Paul. Thanks for the call.
Dan Dierdorf here with Paul Harris on America Weekend.